Okay, we're going to have the reading now. And the reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. I'm just going to pray before we read. Lord, thank you that you've brought us here tonight so that we can learn more about you. Thank you so much for your word in the Bible. Help us to be challenged and encouraged by what you have to say to us this evening. In your name, amen. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
A story is told about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. As you know, it's one of the highest mountains in the Alps. They hired three guides and began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order: guide, traveller, guide, traveller, guide. They'd only gone a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a toehold in the niches they had cut in the ice. But then the next man slipped and he pulled down the other two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, who had driven a spike deep into the ice. Because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. Romans 8 is about the security of the believer. We're all slipping to our death off the mountain, but Jesus holds us secure. If you think about it, life is incredibly insecure. Any one of us could get knocked over and killed or die of some illness at any time. We're incredibly insecure as far as this life is concerned. We're just not safe. In fact, we're sliding down the mountain towards death. And Jesus said, if we die unforgiven, we face God's punishment. That's how insecure we are. But now for the good news. Verse 1, we are in Christ. Remember how Noah's family was saved? In the ark? Well, the ark is a picture of Jesus. We hide in Jesus, in Christ, from God's punishment, just as Noah hid from the flood. We are secure in Christ. We'll still die, but we are safe for all eternity. We have a home in heaven because of Jesus. We couldn't be more secure. And Romans 8 tells us to keep heaven in mind. Look at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Do you have cancer now? Are you bereaved now? Are you unemployed now? Are you lonely now? Are you persecuted now? It's not worth comparing with heaven. Heaven is the answer. Heaven is our hope. That's where we're heading tonight. Three headings. God's plan is good. Christ's death is enough. God's love is the answer. Firstly, God's plan is good. If you lost your job, would you still keep on following Jesus? If your boyfriend finished with you? Or if your parents died young? What if your husband or wife died young? What if your child died? What is a Christian meant to think? When bad things happen to us, we all think, "Oh God, why has this happened?" Or, "Where are you, God?" Verse 28 is the answer. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. In the worst of things, in the best of things, God is working for our good. When we're disappointed or bereaved or injured, God is working for our good. So what we have to say is, thank you, God, that you are working for my good. In this situation, how could it be for my good for something bad to happen to me? Well, it's because God uses our suffering to make us more like Jesus. If my life is easy, I'm tempted to ignore God. When my life is difficult, I know I must get up early to pray because I can't face the day without God. God allows us to suffer, even send suffering, so that we will depend on him in prayer. So that we will learn to love the things of this world less. Money, sex, pleasure, power. As we suffer, God loosens our grip on this world and he tightens our grip on heaven. And the reason we know God works for our good is verse 28. We have been called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for us. That's the reason he called us into relationship with Jesus. Because verse 29, those God foreknew. Before you even lived, God knew you. He knew you. He's had his hand on your life since before the creation of the world. He predestined you to be saved. That just means, before the creation of the world, he planned to save you from hell for a relationship with Jesus. That you would be conformed to the likeness of his Son. You and I will be like Jesus. We'll be just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working on this right now. If we are right with God, we are growing more like Jesus every day. We can't see it, perhaps. But if you look back over your life, you can see, actually, I am more like Jesus now than I was 10 years ago, perhaps. We're going to be made like Jesus because, verse 29, he wants many brothers and sisters. Can you see that? We're all brothers and sisters of Jesus. And we all share the family likeness. We all resemble Jesus. Isn't God kind to do this for us? And so certain is it that we're going to be just like Jesus, that verse 30, Paul writes, who wrote this letter, in the past tense. He says, you've already been made like Jesus. But Paul, I still swear. I still get angry. I still have lustful thoughts. I'm still greedy. And so we could go on. We're not like Jesus. But as far as God is concerned, look at verse 30. God predestined you. He planned you. He called you into relationship with Jesus. He justified you. That means you are innocent. Justified. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. Innocent. We are justified. God doesn't see our sin. Isn't that marvelous? He just sees perfection. Justified. And glorified. You see that? Those who have died in Christ are now glorified. They have perfect characters. They never sin. And they have perfect bodies. I know my body already comes as close to perfection as makes no difference. What are you laughing at? But when we get to heaven, we will have perfect, pain-free bodies. That's what glorification means. But as far as God is concerned, he sees you now as already glorified. Do you see? There's no need to be ashamed before God if you're in Christ. He views you as perfect. I think that's marvelous. When Jesus died on the cross, you gave him your sin. And he gave you his perfection as a free gift, paid for by his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? God's plan is good. Secondly, Christ's death is enough. Verses 31 to 34. On the 22nd of June 1997, parachute instructor Michael Costello, aged 42, jumped out of a plane at 12,000 feet with a novice skydiver, Gareth Griffin, aged 21. When Gareth pulled his ripcord, his parachute failed. He plummeted towards certain death. However, just before impact, the instructor, Michael, rolled over so that he hit the ground first. And Gareth's fall was cushioned by Michael's. Michael, the instructor, was killed instantly. Gareth escaped with a fractured spine, and he wasn't paralyzed. A story like that can never do justice to what Jesus has done for us. But it illustrates the simple truth. Jesus died in our place. just as Michael died in Gareth's place. And it's as Jesus dies in our place that he takes our sin and he gives us his perfection. So says Paul, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you see how much Jesus is for you if you belong to him? He died for you. He is for you. Therefore, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. If God loves you that much, if Jesus loves you that much, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, this doesn't mean he'll give you riches in this life. It means he'll give you riches in eternity, in heaven. The death of Jesus pays for riches in heaven for all of God's people. Not only that, verse 33, Satan can never accuse you again. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Now, you could point out my faults to me. I have many faults. That's why God gives us marriages and friendships, so that we can rub the rough edges off each other. I know you could find fault with me, but because Jesus paid for all my sin on the cross, God will not find fault with me. Isn't that tremendous? God will not find fault with me. God says, I have justified him. He is innocent. I won't hear a word against him. Leave him alone. Remember, Satan's job is to accuse Christians. Satan wants to tell us to give up following Christ because we're too bad. Hear the authoritative voice of God. Justified. Innocent. Holy. Perfect. Predestined to be made like Jesus. Verse 34. Someone condemns you. Here's the answer. Jesus, who died and was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus stands before the Father and he says, Father, this one is your child for whom I died. There is no charge against them, Father. And the Father agrees. In verse 33, yes, son, they are justified. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Hallelujah. Verse 1, there is now no condemnation. We really are forgiven. God's plan is good. Christ's death is enough. And thirdly, God's love is the answer. Verses 35 to 39. Do you see now? Because of the cross of Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You cannot sin yourself out of the love of God if you're in Christ. There's a well-known sermon illustration for the story of the prodigal son. And to cut a long story short, a young girl goes off to the big city. She spends all her money. She ends up on drugs. She ends up selling her body to pay for drugs. She ends up in the gutter. But the point is this. She's still her mother's daughter. And her mother never gives up hope that she will find her daughter. And she works tirelessly to find her daughter. She puts posters up all around the city with a photo of her daughter and the words, "Darling, I love you. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home." That's how God views us. We cannot sin ourselves out of God's love if we are predestined to be one of his children, if Jesus has died for us. Verse 35, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. You can run away, but nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. You can ignore him, but nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Life may be awful. We may be persecuted like Christians in North Korea. Verse 36 may be true of us. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is true of thousands of Christians every day. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because even if we're killed, we go straight into the arms of Jesus. Verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Whatever situation you're in, you can conquer. You can win. That means you can stay in relationship with Jesus. That's victory. Whether we live or die, or suffer or prosper, the only thing that matters is that we stay in a relationship with Jesus. That's what Paul means by conquering, being victorious. I see it all the time. I have an overview of the suffering of Christchurch. And again, I see people being more than conquerors, staying close to Jesus, despite big problems. That's victory. Because, verse 38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you get the point? It doesn't matter what happens or who attacks us. Nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God in Christ. God's plan is good. Do you believe that? Despite everything that's happened to you, God's plan is good. Christ's death is enough. You don't need to do anything else to get to heaven except to trust Jesus. And God's love is the answer. Knowing God loves you. Knowing God loves you. Not knowing that as a theory, not just reading it in the Bible, not just hearing preachers talk about it, but you knowing God loves you. When you know that, that's life-changing. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, this is strong meat. And we find it difficult to get our minds round. But we want to be people of faith tonight. So we're going to believe your word. And we believe that your plan is good. That you are working for our good. Despite everything. We do pray very specially for those who are suffering tonight. For those who find it hard to believe that you love them. That you would bring them, Father, to a place of understanding, seeing this truth and experiencing its power. Of knowing that you are in control and that your plan is so good to make us like Jesus. And Father, we thank you again for the death of Jesus. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, that he has paid for all our sin. Lord, would no one leave here tonight without fully trusting Jesus to be their Savior from hell for a relationship with you. And Lord, I do pray that every one of us would know that you love us and that we would be transformed by that knowledge, that experience. In Jesus' name, amen.